Hello, welcome to Bagel's Tech F1. We're here to discuss the Japanese Grand Prix, which finished many hours ago while we're all still in bed and waiting for the rugby to come on. I've watched for the rugby, but some of us were up, apparently. I'm joined by the fantastic team as normal. Top left, Mr. Steve Neighbour. Hello, mate. How are you doing?
Good evening, sir. I'm excellent. Not too bad at all. How are you?
I've got the names all the wrong way around. Isn't that good, eh? Jolly good. Yeah, fine. No worries at all. How was the aftermath of Elmug?
Oh, brilliant. We had a great night on, was it Tuesday night? Tuesday night this week with Dan in the pub. We put the keynote on, the Apple keynote with free screens. We had about 75 people turn up. It was really good. Yeah, and thank you for yourself for coming down, and Don McAllister and iMike, and we had a great night. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, really good night.
Excellent. Next to him, we've got Sarah. Hello, Mrs.
Hello, Ewan.
Still bleary-eyed. Then what time did you get up?
About 6:30, I think.
Oh, that's not too bad then.
Yeah, but I went back. I went after the red button. I actually went back to bed for a couple of hours.
Righty-o. Jolly good. And beneath her is me, and then next to me is Tony Blunt. Hello, pal.
All right.
Were you at Brighton early as well, or?
Yeah. Watched it live and then a repeat, as it turned out, on the red button.
Have you had to work today or not?
Yeah, but I started about 3:00. That's why I got back about 8:00.
Not too bad then. Five
nice
hours,
short
you can
day.
Take that. Yeah, good man. The Japanese Grand Prix, like I said, the problem I've got is I haven't seen any of it, so I'm expecting you lot to talk me through it. I've seen little bits, and I've seen a bit of the highlights from qualifying and stuff. But, I mean, the big news is Sebastian's world champion then. It's a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, it's well deserved.
Absolutely.
I mean, he finished third, so it wasn't like he took it with a stunning victory or anything, but it was more than enough, just enough.
Yeah,
Go, Steve.
I think he was highly disappointed that he didn't, you know, he's such a competitive person.
Yeah, he wanted to do it with a win, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've got some points that I want to raise later about Jensen through the race and post the race, really kind of dug into to Vettel saying, you know, you have won this season, you've done an amazing job this season, but I'm ready. I got the impression from Button that he was jousting with Vettel for building it up for next season. I think he fancies a little bit of him.
I mean,
since he's got the new contract sorted and
he's sticking around.
Yeah. I mean, you got to think that Jensen would have been a lot closer to him, to Vettel, if he'd actually managed to have better Saturdays. He's been let down this season by having a lot of poor grid positions.
Is that it, though? Is that enough? Is there more to it than that? I don't see that.
Well, he's always done well on the race, on race day.
Well, not and if he's, particularly. I mean, okay, there was a Canadian Grand Prix, and the last couple of weeks he's done okay, but I think he's had a few run ones, hasn't he, at the start?
Yeah.
It was a bit of a stop-start to the season for him. It's like Vettel sort of last year, you know, really. But, you know, he's come out of it, you know, he's ended up second in the whole, well, potentially second in the whole championship. But that's still yet to be decided, isn't it?
The race for second.
Yes. He's only 8 points ahead of Alonso.
Oh.
So it's close. It's very, very close.
Yeah.
Will Vettel continue winning, or is he going to take his foot off the gas now? Excuse the pun.
No, he'll want to keep winning as much as ever. He's won 9 Grand Prix this season. There's no reason why he shouldn't want to win the last 4.
3 more to go. Is it 3 more? 2 more?
4.
4 more to go.
4 more.
A full season ahead. What do we think to qualifying then? Any word on qualifying?
Well, the obvious thing there was the Hamilton Schumacher Webber incident on the last few seconds of Q3.
I don't think if you say incident, but I don't think there's anything that was stood out as being wrong from the other two. It was definitely, you know, fair for all, and Lewis was dicking around, and they just thought, well, you know, I want it's my practice too, and they went past him.
He messed it up. It was nothing other than he messed it up.
Yeah, I mean, I tweeted about this after the quali, because it seems to be, I'm not blaming McLaren or anyone, but it seems to be that the teams never seem to learn from this thing about building margin of error into the timings available. Mm. This is not the first time this season that one team or other has made this kind of mistake, and then they've been caught out when there's been either a red flag or an incident when they haven't been able to start the last lap. You need to forget about the last...
Even when it's like started raining halfway through a session, they've been caught out that way as well, haven't they? It's all these factors.
They need to build some margin of error. I mean, 10 seconds isn't going to make any difference in terms of going out 10 seconds earlier and giving them a little bit more leeway.
Steve, you got a view on it. What's the...
Q3 was interesting for two reasons. One, the fact that Hamilton was by far and away quicker, and I really felt Vettel put an amazing lap in to actually get it back off the McLarens, which was disappointing for me because I want to see Vettel not do so well. But the other thing was really disappointed that the other teams didn't come out and race on that third session. The majority of them just gave up. Yeah. They didn't come back to race, and I think they're worried about tyres. Yeah, I think they've got to look at that for next season, because all those fans that have paid quite a few pounds to come and see the race, and the TV firms as well, they want a good race on the qualifying or a good session. So they need to kind of keep that exciting rather than just people kind of packing away their vans early.
Yeah, I mean, Stefano, the team principal at Ferrari, has come out and said exactly that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, because on Friday, we've got a rule about in the very first practice session, there's some tyres they only have for that. I don't see why they don't have that for qualifying, to stop this sort of thing.
Wasn't it? I mean, they said in the kind of little pre-race recap, they said tyres, everyone thought tyres were going to be crucial. And I've taken a couple of screen captures here of a couple of the tyres that they got on show that were stacked up in one of the areas. I mean, one looks like I've driven it across a field full of cows, and the other one looks like someone's gone at it with a partially blocked spray gun with green paint in it. I mean, those are pretty horrific looking tyres. I'd hate to think what they've come off.
Are you sure you got them from Formula One tyres, those photos?
Those are Formula One tyres, and the pictures were taken from the BBC coverage. Although I remember seeing
those pictures.
That was on the preview, and that was the showing of the, you're having a laugh, mate.
Is that tyres they've taken off?
These are tyres that they've taken off cars, and they're put to one side because they can't use them. And that's what I'm saying, they were saying that tyre wear was going to be crucial at Suzuka.
Yeah, I mean, they were talking about the possibility that some teams even stopping five times.
That's just ridiculous, surely.
It wasn't the one point as well in the coverage where it's like, I think it was Jake and DC standing next to a stack of tyres, and he ran a finger along this sort of just groove in it where it blistered.
Yeah, right the way around one edge of the tyre.
Yeah. So...
not good.
They look shocking.
Yeah. They do look in a right old state, it has to be said.
I mean, I know they wanted, more excitement, the tyres not to be just, they can go the whole race on them, but this is kind of, it's gone to the other extreme a bit, hasn't it?
Yeah, most definitely.
I mean, they lasted, I think they would talk of some of the races like lasting 9-10 laps into the race today.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about five stop, it was a 53-lap race. That's that. If anyone had stopped five times, that would have been an average of 10 laps. And Vettel, at one point, actually, his tyres only lasted 7 laps.
Yeah, he was struggling on tyres, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
They got cut to pieces, absolutely cut to pieces. So we've got the tyres issue. There's one thing. The other thing was the qualifying lap from Vettel and Button. Did you see the difference that was listed on the coverage?
Yeah, 9/1000ths.
Yeah, I mean, the BBC showed a fantastic picture, and I've stolen this off the BBC coverage. I make no bones about it, but this is the picture of the season for me, and that is the difference between qualifying first and qualifying second, and that gives you the margin that these fellas are working on.
Yeah,
somebody worked out about, 68 centimetres or something, I think. I think they mentioned on the coverage. Yeah.
There was an earlier bit on that lap when they showed that. That was in the pre-racing today, when earlier in the lap, Vettel was really hanging it out, and he could have easily lost it. He was hanging it out that much. So that's how he's managed to get close to the McLarens, because they were fast. The McLarens were fastest all the way through the weekend.
Well, it just shows you as well, if you look at the performance of Webber in this one, he, you know, it clearly is a significant separation in the standard of driver rather than the car with Red Bull.
Yeah. I'm really chuffed that it was a really close qualifying between the two McLarens and the Red Bull. And I'm really chuffed that Button won it. Not just that I like Button, but it was the fact that it's a Honda, that circuit is a Honda testing track. They spend a lot of time testing the car at that track, and I think McLaren really went for it on that track to make a point that we've caught up with you, Red Bull, through the season, and at your, you know, at your testing track, we're going to have you. And they did in the race, and that, I think that they're really up for it in terms of the qualifying as well.
Where they didn't.
Yeah, but you could tell that they were up for it.
Yeah, I could say they were so close in the qualifying, you know, it's just...
Right.
All the practice sessions, I think it was Jensen, wasn't it, as well, right at the top?
Yeah, he was top of the timing charts, every single one, right through until Q3, from Thursday or Friday.
Right then, so now we're going to go and do the race in a second, but before we do, we've got our regular feature, Only Their Mother Can Tell Them Apart. And one of the listeners has written in with this week's, and it's an absolute perler, and it's to do with Michael Schumacher, Shuey.
Come on then.
And the email I got from him said, have you ever noticed that Michael Schumacher and Celine Dion are never in the same room together?
What?
And
okay, where does Michael hide all that hair? Well, you
know? And I've got to say... I've done a little bit of comparison of the photos, and there's a certain resemblance.
Who sent that in?
I can't say because I can't find the email.
The person's a genius.
Absolute genius. I think it is the best so far, no question. Only Their Mother Can Tell Them Apart, Michael Schumacher, Celine Dion. And just to prove that this is a real possibility, I've taken a picture of Michael Schumacher and I've kind of messed around with it. For Celine Dion, very quickly and very roughly, I have to admit. But you could, with a bit better photo touching, you could see that would do.
So what you've done, you've put Schumacher's face with a little bit of touching around on Celine Dion's face with the hair. He looks like he should be in status quo now.
Rick Parfitt and Celine Dion and Shuey are a pair of triplets.
A bit of makeup and he'd be well away.
And if there can be a pair of triplets, then that's them.
I thought this was going to be like when he used to wear the old red wig at Ferrari, you know, for the championship.
Whoever suggested that, you're an absolute star.
That's absolutely... I'm going to find out before the end, but... I need to find out who said that because it's not... I shouldn't ignore them. It's brilliant. It is truly brilliant.
Whoever it was deserves full credit for that.
Yeah, we might send you something for that one because that is an absolute pearler. Right, the race, the start. I watched the start and I was aghast that Vettel was not disqualified for what he did.
Yeah, I tried through. He wouldn't have got disqualified.
I mean, did he get any penalty whatsoever?
Nope.
Nothing at all?
Now, there was a lot of talk in the commentary about how Charlie Whiting generally lets that sort of thing go on the start only. And even then, it was still only one move. They let that go on
at the start only, driving drivers off the track.
Apparently, the line was that it would be impossible to keep track of all different incidents with all different drivers at the start, and that's why they don't do it.
It was the same thing with Rosberg in Singapore, wasn't it? I think.
Oh, when he had
that starting.
I loved it. I just really liked the fact that Vettel had to go and do that to keep Button behind. And just really jumping right to the very end of the race. I don't know if you saw it, but on the BBC coverage, after he'd won it, in the, you know, as they go into the room and they get their watches and they get their hats, Button just leaned over to Vettel and said, I wrote it down. He said,
something like, didn't you see me? Or
yeah, like, so didn't you see me then? Yeah. Oh, you willed rampant there. Is that what you had to do to keep me behind you? I just love the fact that he was continually digging him just before he went on to kind of in front of the crowd. He was livid that he did that to him.
Well, I took the picture of the start, and you can see a picture that I've got up here of Schumacher, of Vettel and Button, and I've actually marked on the picture the point where Vettel started from and the entry into the curve. Now, if you actually look at the two points overlaid against that photo, Vettel has done a complete V for Vettel from where he started in pole over to nearly pushing Button into the grass on the left-hand side, and then he goes back out beyond the white line to turn in to turn one. And that is the deviation he has made, which I think is an absolute disgrace. That is dangerous driving. And I know what you're saying. The rules are saying now at the moment that they shouldn't enforce that. That's fine. Well, the rules have got to change, because that is a demonstrable change in... I mean, the reason everyone's nearly passed him is because of the fact he's gone so far out the bloody way. If he'd have just driven straight, no one would have got near him. That's a horror of a move. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been interesting, because obviously in that picture it looks like Lewis while Vettel's defending to keep Button behind him, Hamilton's coming up fairly close, and we know that Hamilton did actually get past Button after after he had to defend the move from Vettel. So I think it was more about the fact that he wasn't able to hang on to second place because of it, rather than the fact that he didn't actually get past Vettel.
Yeah. So, I mean, I haven't seen any of the... I've seen the beginning and I've seen the end, and that's pretty much it. So talk me through the midsection. I mean, was there any real highlights in the midsection? I mean, you said at lap 20, Vettel and Jensen had a pit stop that really settled the
yeah, that's where Jensen actually overtook Vettel,
right,
on the pit stops, because they were a bit faster, and he actually managed to come out in front of him. That time they were fourth and fifth. But obviously with other pit stops to come, and Hamilton and Massa had an incident on the following lap, and Alonso pitted as did Hamilton as well. And that's on the following, on two laps later, actually, it wasn't the following lap. And then it all shook down, Button was actually in front.
I mean, it was amazing. On the run up into the pit stop was on there, lap 21. Lap 15, he was 2.7 behind. Lap 17, 2.4. Lap 19, really 1.7 behind. Button was flying into the into Vettel's times, and I'm surprised when Button actually overtook him in the pits. I'm surprised that Button didn't have his kind of hand out of the cockpit as he came out in front of Vettel. It was
bird.
Yes, yeah, I think he enjoyed that.
Tony, what was your take on Button's drive?
I mean, it was, you know, great. He was closing in, you know, right up to those pit stops, and then he just managed to, you know, get straight out. Team did a fantastic job for him there as well. You know, but, you know, even without that, he was closing in. He was going to be all over the back of him anyway, coming out of the pits if he hadn't overtaken.
So are you guys saying that this was won or lost in the pit stops? Or are you saying this was won or lost on the fact that the McLaren was just a superior car today?
Button was faster.
Yeah.
Just Button.
He was Button really was up for phenomenal. It today. We know he really wanted to win this race.
What about Hamilton? What did he have up his sleeve during the course of the race? Pretty much nothing.
Massa.
The Massa magnet.
Massa under his front wing. Again.
Yeah, lap 22.
Yeah.
So,
but no further action for it this time. Yes.
Why were they battling, and what was the situation of the race?
I think Button and Hamilton. Hamilton and Massa. They're similar pace. So again, they were coming close to each other. But you can see the attitude in the way that they race each other, and that they just they don't give each other space at all. They really go for it. And this time Massa was coming up behind Hamilton and just stormed into the back of into the left-hand side of Hamilton for a corner, and the contact was made. Nobody really came off. Well, Massa then fell behind as well, so it was just another racing incident, really. Yeah, but there's no love lost there.
It wasn't like last time out, you know, where there was a puncture. Yeah, they both did lose out this time, really. You know, I mean, I think one of them lost one of the mirrors, didn't?
Is it Massa picking at Hamilton, or is it Hamilton picking at Massa, or are they just in the same zone at the same time?
I think there's a bit of red mist from both of them.
Yeah. They're at the race now, so they just want to see how much chunks they can tear off each other.
Yeah. I think there was an interesting point that was made by either DC or Martin during the when there was talk about the incident being investigated. They said that if Hamilton gets a penalty, he may as well he'll probably park it and bugger off home because he's had enough.
What? Not finish?
Yeah, because he'd probably feel like he's being picked on.
Yeah, and they're even saying, because they were racing again later in the race, weren't they? After all that, further towards the end, they said, this is going to be round 8, round 9 of Massa Hamilton,
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they were.
Set of boxing gloves and let them sort it out in the gym.
They were next to each other for a lot of the race. And it was only towards the end when Schumacher got between them that that they actually weren't.
It's quite
funny that they called him the referee between them, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right.
You've just got this image of Celine Dion stepping in and going, hey, calm down, right? Hey.
Is that Canadian accent?
Shut up, Sarah. Don't even think about taking just the mickey out of my accents.
Why do you think I did?
Not after your lot. Good grief.
Where were you on holiday, Sarah?
Ireland. I was going to say, I just try and talk like Eddie Jordan, shouldn't I?
Can you?
I don't really think anybody should try and talk like Eddie Jordan, but,
Yeah, good point.
Did anyone else spend the kind of second half of that race, or maybe the third end of that race, hoping that Vettel wouldn't finish? Because it was placed nicely. Yeah, Button in first, Alonso second, and he did an amazing job to get second. And then you had Vettel third. And I was just thinking what the excitement would be if Vettel failed to finish. These modern cars don't fail anymore, do they? It used to be quite often.
There was a point in lap 34 when Vettel pitted and he came out in 11th with Button in front. And I said, right, throw the checkered flag now. But we'll go on to Korea.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was one point where Vettel overtook somebody. I think, I'm not sure if it was a lapping a car, etc. But he was shaking the fist at the person that was in front of him. There was frustration coming out. I was hoping that frustration would mean that he would drive off, but maybe
not. It certainly has in the past, hasn't it? He's got form for that. Getting stressed out like that and being forced off the road because Jensen's done it to him a couple of times while chasing him down.
I made a note, that was lap 46 of a 50-odd lap race. So
53,
for the champion to be shaking his fist at somebody that he's overtaken, knowing that he's going to win the championship at lap 46, really shows absolute frustration that he's not either won the race, I can't believe this person did something so wrong. But I think Vettel wanted to win today.
I mean, there's a point in sport where I think that the true professional sportsman switches off from everything that's going on around them and just focuses in the moment. And the one thing that I remember very vividly was, do you remember Todd Hamilton winning the British Open? I can't remember where it was at. I think it was Carnoustie. But he held the putt that won the British Open tournament. And the first time he knows anything at all about the fact that he's won is that his caddy's running towards him with his arms out. And he's got like this look at his, where he looks at him and he's kind of like, what are you doing? Oh, yeah, I won, And it's, he comes out of that. He's just clearly in such a zone. And I think Vettel, sits behind the wheel, zones in on where he's going to go, gets this tunnel vision into T1 and everything else be damned. And that's brilliant.
That is exactly, I mean, that was exactly borne out by a comment he made after the race, where he'd said about the fact that he was actually, I can't remember exactly what it was, but he said it didn't actually occur to him that he was world champion until after he crossed the line.
Mm-hmm. Just blocks everything out, yeah.
Yeah.
And didn't the same thing happen with Button when he won, you know, that race where he won the title?
In Brazil, yeah.
Yeah, because it was like, you know, afterwards, before he was singing We Are The Champions and all that, you know, he did seem quite surprised.
Yeah, no.
I think when you think about it, the speeds they're racing at and the margin of error there, it's not surprising that their total focus is on keeping that car on the track and doing everything they've got to do with all those knobs and switches on that on the steering wheel. It's not really a surprise.
Oh, yeah. It's,
well, I mean, that was the thing that got Hamilton, wasn't it? He was sitting down screwing around with a couple of gauges that made him slow down because he's thinking, well, I've got a bit of time, I'll let the other guy go ahead. So he's messing around, loses a bit more and accelerates, then does the same thing again, and that's when Webber and Schumacher came past him. And loads, before you know it, he's out of qualifying. What about Di Resta? Where did Di Resta finish this week? Because, I mean, he had such a good run last time.
He
had a very good run in practice, from what I understand, and then just stopped early because he was worried about tyre wear.
Yeah, I think he was about 11th or 12th.
So it's still fairly creditable performance. Yeah. I mean, is anyone else starting to talk about contracts at the moment? And is Di Resta one of the ones that's up for moving? Or, you know, because, I mean, really should move.
I think he's going to stay at Force India. I mean, the team principal at Force India has said that he's not going to make a decision on the two that they're going to take from the three drivers until December, which is a bit mean, really, because it doesn't give them any other option for the one that doesn't get a seat. But I'd imagine it's almost certainly going to be Di Resta and Sutil, because they've done enough to hang on to those seats.
They've been a strong enough team, you know, as the season's gone on.
I mean, don't you think Di Resta should be moving, though? Don't you think he's got more potential?
I think he's got to get a bit further up the grid before he starts thinking about moving elsewhere.
Yeah, maybe after next year, you know, you should only take a 1-year contract maybe, you know, for the next year, and, you know, then see what gets offered to him then.
Is that a catch 22 though? I mean, you know, he's never going to get any further until he gets a better ride. He's never going to get a ride until he goes a bit further. I mean, that's
I think it's more experience. You know, it's like, you know, by then he'll have had 2 years in the car, you know, full seasons as well, because sometimes you get drivers having only like half a season in a car, you know, and then they get replaced by an impatient team, you know, usually lower down the grid.
Is there anyone that agrees with me, though, that Di Resta's done enough in this first season as a rookie for someone to come along and go, tell you what, let's throw a few bucks at this kid and see what he can do?
Possibly, but I think he could do with another season.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope for someone like, you know, maybe Williams or Renault. But I think Renault are covered up for next year, aren't they? They got signed.
They're also got two from three to choose from.
Yeah. Mm. So I think they're not going to want to add another to that mix.
We don't know whether Kubica is coming back as well.
Steve, you saying?
I was saying about Schumacher, really. That you've got the Ferraris, the McLarens, and the Red Bull. That's the first six. Then you've got Schumacher involved in the kind of the next group down. And it must be so frustrating with him, because he's never going to be in the top six. He's always going to be around. He's not. I don't understand why he's got. There's no chance of him getting in the top six. So what's he doing there now? Is he just proving that he's fastest of the middle ground?
I think he is still there to race, you know, the best he can in that car. I mean, the first year in the Ferrari, you know, that was a real dog of a car, wasn't it? You know,
it was the first 3 or 4 years was like that while Hakkinen was winning the title.
But you got to say,
he came close in two of those years, but, you know,
it is completely against Shuey's mental makeup to be an also ran. I mean, it just you don't. Christ knows why he's back. It's not for the money. It's not for the kudos, because he's getting nowhere. Yeah. And you know, I am desperate for Schumacher to have the second seat at Red Bull next year.
That would be incredible material.
At the Race of Champions, he's already Vettel's teammate in that, you know, when they hold that every year, you know, Team Germany.
Celine Dion driving for Schumacher next year.
He's got a course.
Mike Schumacher singing in Vegas.
Yeah, no, he's got a course. He's got a heart.
and he must go on.
No, I believe in you, Schumacher.
Does he think twice?
I think he drove all night as well.
Does he think twice?
Hang on. That's Roy Orbison. He was frigging blind. Are you comparing Michael Schumacher to a dead blind bloke?
Call the man.
You're going through Celine Dion tracks here.
No, I'll stand by your side.
Oh, make it stop.
He must go on, I think, is probably the best one.
No, make you happy. No, Schumacher will get there. You know,
we've got tonight's show time, haven't we? Celine Schumacher.
Well, even today, he did lead the race for a little while, you know, during the pit stops, but...
You know, I think he had a good day. He's got the next plane out. He's happy.
He's got the next plane out. Good God. For those of you that are just tuning in, our regular slot of Only the Mother Can Tell Him Apart is Michael Schumacher and Celine Dion, and I have to say, I think Michael Schumacher makes a good-looking Celine Dion.
Yep, that's the way it is.
Only their mother can tell them apart.
I don't think what they do with a picture of Ralph then.
If you've got Ralph.
Can we see a picture of the other way around, Ewan?
The other way around.
With Celine Dion in overalls.
Well, I'll have a work on that one for next week. But all I did was take this photo and very quickly, and it was literally done while we opened with the titles, switched it in for that one. So
okay,
we shall see next week. If you've got an Only Their Mother Can Tell Them Apart from F1, send it to us and we'll put it up. Of course, we had Mr. Tumble and what's his name? Eric Banner and Mark Webber was last week. So this week we've had Celine Dion and Michael Schumacher at the behest of David. He didn't give his full name. He was David in the email. So
well done, David.
I could read his email address out, but he'd probably get a shed load of spam if I did, so I won't bother. But there you go. If you've got Only Their Mother Can Tell Them Apart from F1, please send it to us. And we shall put it up on the show and give you full credit for it. And if you put your surname on, we'll read that out as well as. Last word goes to our sponsors. It is UK2.net. They are the people that keep all of the Bagel Tech shows on the network. We have got a fantastic support from them. They really have been very, very special to us. And last month, since we started doing the video properly, the data that we've used, the bandwidth is just cringeworthy. It's unbelievable. And they've just given us unlimited amounts of bandwidth and said, just do what you want. Go ahead. Put anything you like up. So if you want a show on the Bagel Tech Network, give me a submission of an idea. And who knows, you could have your own show on our network. It'd be fine. UK2.net, please go to bageltechnews.com. Click on the link from there and go through to their site. When you get there, please click on anything that you want to buy. And then when you go to your checkout, use the offer code BAGELTECH and you get 15% off. Or you can also use, if you're domain transferring in, use the offer code BAGELDNS and that'll take away your DNS management charge. You can use both of those offer codes. We've had an email from UK2 this week and yet again, people are lapsing back into just buying the service and not using the offer codes. They want you to use the offer codes. They ring up and tell us when you're not using offer codes. Please do it. Excuse me. We've also got a competition for you to enter. If you go to bageltechnews.com, you'll find a Nintendo 3DS competition down there, which is absolutely fantastic. You can just enter by selecting your email and then putting on there's 4 terabytes on a VPS server. And if you go into the draw and you win, then they will send you a Nintendo 3DS or they'll give you a year's free hosting or they'll give you a £25 iTunes voucher. So please go and support UK2.net. They are everything to us and this network would not exist at all without them. So there we go. Jolly good. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Neighbour?
Clofford HQ on Twitter. My favourite bit of the F1, can I just mention it quickly?
We didn't do magic moments. I do apologise. Your magic moment.
My favourite moment. Did anyone else notice before the Grand Prix started that Eddie Jordan was doing a bit of an interview for a job that he wanted?
No.
Brundle did three drivers on the pit walk, and then Eddie Jordan almost took over, and he was really up for it. He was maybe it was me, but he really seemed like he was trying to, I could do this pit walk. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I really fought it.
Yes, because he was interviewing Perez, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was running. He ran straight in, you know, running across the start grid. I thought that was interesting. But yeah, I'm at CloughEdHQ if you're on the Twitter.
Very good. CloughEdHQ, thank you, mate. Sarah, where can we get hold of you? What was your magic moment?
You can get hold of me on the Twitters at SarahJaneUK. My favourite moment, believe it or not, didn't actually happen on the track. It was the double pit stop from Red Bull. Only two drivers pitted 10 seconds apart, and the pit crew were unbelievable. They actually just literally, as Vettel pulled out, Webber pulled straight in, and they had both sets of tyres out there ready. And I was just blown away with that. They showed it after the race. Mm. And I thought it was unbelievable.
Showing off.
Yeah, it was.
Good on. Yeah, well, who cares?
They should have been all by myself, and they would have been all right then. I had to get both of them at the same time.
And Tony, where can we get you, and what's your magic moment?
My magic moment, it had to be Schumi leading a race again, and also Massa at one point.
Are we talking genuinely led, or are we talking that it was just during the pit changes?
It was in pit stops and that, but it was sadly.
But it was for a couple of laps, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was for a good couple of laps each time, but... Yeah, well, it still counts, doesn't it? But yeah, that for me, it's great to see that those two guys leading again at any point in a race.
Jolly good. You can get where can get a hold of you, Tone?
It's MightyHorse82 on Twitter.
My magic moment was definitely Sebastian Vettel at the start, nearly barging Button off the track. The only thing I'm sorry about is that he didn't get a drive-through penalty for that or disqualify, because it was absolutely abhorrent. And it's magic for the wrong reasons. There you go. And I'm Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, or you can get me at Bagel Tech News as well. We're going to be back in 2 weeks' time.
No, next weekend.
Oh, it's next weekend.
Korean.
Who have we got? Korean.
Korea. Free. Same time.
Oh, you bloody hell.
Have they got a decent service at Korea?
What do you mean, as in TV broadcast service, or are you talking about Chinese food?
No, road surface. They had a dodgy road surface last year.
Really?
Was it there?
Yeah. They had a dodgy road surface.
Let's hope they've improved it.
Bit of a sticky wicket.
Yeah. It was their first Grand Prix, though, wasn't it, last year?
Yeah. So we'll be back next Sunday night at 9-ish. Yeah? Everyone around? 9:30-ish?
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
And we'll cover the Korean Grand Prix in all of its glory. And hopefully I'll have had the chance to have watched it that week. But my auntie won't be 90 next week. She will be 90, but she won't be having a party for being 90. There you go. That's the thing.
If I have a heart, I'll be there.
And Steve Naber must go on. There we go. That's the title.
I think it's Schumacher should go. Will still go on, which should be the title.
Schumacher Dion sounds like a comet. No, Schumacher Dion sounds like a comet that's going to hit Earth and kill us all.
Schumacher must go on, I think.
Schumacher Dion. There we go. LX3 Schumacher Dion. We'll see you next week for the Korean Grand Prix. Thanks very much. And for some reason, the bloody credits haven't rolled. I've no idea why.
They are rolling, Ewan.
Now I've run the start once again. I don't know why the end ones haven't run. All the best laid plans. I've had a crack.
Every week.
I've had a crack. I'm going to give up doing this next week.
No, you're not.
Oh, all right.